While the nation's weak economy and persistently high unemployment are the number one issues of concern to most Americans, a simmering debate on foreign policy has come more into focus during the final weeks of the presidential election campaign. In recent days, Republican candidate Mitt Romney has attempted to use the killings of U.S. Ambassador Christopher Stevens and three other U.S. citizens at the hands of Islamic militants in Benghazi, Libya, to question the Obama administration's overall conduct of foreign policy. While national security issues have historically been a strong suit for Republican Party presidential candidates among voters, during this election campaign, Barack Obama has consistently scored high marks in public opinion polls for his handling of international issues. Obama's authorization of the Navy SEAL team mission that killed Osama bin Laden and his aggressive but controversial use of drone strikes against al-Qaeda leaders in the Middle East and North Africa have left the usually hawkish GOP with less to criticize. But there are differences between the candidates on issues such as military spending. While Romney advocates an increase in the Pentagon budget of an additional $2.1 trillion over the next 10 years, Obama is moving toward a reduction of $478 billion over the next decade to pre-9/11 levels. Both Mitt Romney and his running mate, Paul Ryan, have criticized the president's leading-from-behind strategy and for what they charge are his apologies for U.S. military intervention abroad. On the campaign trail, the GOP candidates take a belligerent stance on future relations with Russia, China, Iran, and leftist governments in Latin America. Your reporter spoke with William Hartung, director of the Arms and Security Project at the Center for International Policy. He assesses Romney's foreign policy positions while looking at some of the critical questions on U.S. international relations absent from the major party presidential debates.
On Iran, he's basically said we should have no daylight between our policy and the policy of Israel, which means if Bibi Netanyahu goes off the deep end, he wants the United States to follow, right along with that. So I think there's more danger in the Romney administration of either giving a green light for an Israeli military action or even participating in some way than would be the case under Obama. You know, aside from that, he's kind of made a big point of that we just need a tougher posture in the world. You know, we're not supposed to sort of give in to the Russians. We're supposed to view them as an adversary, not somebody, for example, who we might make arms control agreements with to get rid of more nuclear weapons. You know, he said that Obama's been on this apology tour for his whole presidency. You know, the turmoil in the Middle East could be dealt with if people just knew that the United States was tougher. You know, so he's got this kind of almost magical, you know, interest or belief in that if you talk tough and throw a lot of money at the Pentagon, many of the U.S. problems in the world will somehow be solved.
Did the experience the American people have under George W. Bush and the Iraq War and the false pretext for the initiation of that war and a lot of the other blustering around the world that created a lot of blowback in terms of resentment against the United States around the world, did that, you think, at all affect public opinion in terms of this no-holds-barred American militarism that George Bush and his administration promulgated?
Well, I think certainly there's less appetite for war. I don't know if people really have processed the degree to which we were deceived in Iraq, the, you know, ineffectiveness and sort of the kind of the whole question of whether a major counterinsurgency campaign was necessary in Afghanistan. I don't know how many people really have processed that on a kind of very specific level, but I think certainly, the Bush policies were unpopular. He's quite unpopular president, you know, in retrospect. So I think that's part of what people look at. I think the flip side of that is the Obama people are saying, well, there's a smarter way to do it. You know, we can use drones. We don't have to put boots on the ground. So it's sort of, they're holding out the prospect of kind of consequence-free militarism. But, of course, there are civilian casualties. There is going to be a backlash around the world. But in terms of somebody who's not following international reaction is just looking at it from a very narrow U.S. perspective. And they might feel like, well, you know, we've moved beyond Bush, who was a kind of clumsy about using force, to Obama, who's much more careful and effective about using force. So it's sort of double-edged. You know, on the one hand, I think there's this war-weariness. On the other hand, there seems to be this openness to military action if they can make the case that it's going to cost less and hit the right people.
William, in these presidential debates and the vice presidential debate, what are the important issues that the moderators are not likely to bring up and the candidates are likely to say very little about that the American people deserve to know their positions on?
Well, you know, I'd like to see a question about kind of the U.S. presence in the world. You know, should we be leading with military force? Should that be what we're known for around the world? Do we need this Cold War hangover of 700 military bases? You know, why do we have still thousands and thousands of nuclear weapons even after President Obama's agreement with Russia, the New START arms reduction agreement? I would be surprised if those questions were asked. You know, I'd like to also hear somebody ask, what would be the consequences, you know, if Iran having a nuclear bomb? Would it really end life as we know it, given what happened in the Cold War, you know, when the Soviet Union had tens of thousands of nuclear weapons and there was kind of a standoff? If Iran had one or two, would that really transform world politics, or is that being kind of overstated? Not to mention the fact that Iran is much further from getting a nuclear weapon than a lot of the coverage would suggest. I'd also like to see some discussion of kind of the balance of foreign policy tools. There's been a big squeeze put on the State Department and diplomacy. There's been a big squeeze put on programs for economic development. You know, a lot of things that could be done to have influence in the world, to build relationships with other countries that don't involve the military, have been cut back dramatically and would be further cut back under current budget plans. So you have the absurdity, for example, of the Republicans raising issues of the handling of embassy security in Libya at the same time that they voted to cut it dramatically in recent budgets. You know, maybe finally some better perspective on how much is actually being spent on the Pentagon, because there's this notion in the press that somehow Obama is making deep cuts, when actually what he's doing is he's leveling off Pentagon spending at historically high levels. It went up 12 years running. It went to the highest level since World War II. And now Obama's saying, well, the Pentagon's not going to get every penny of increase that it wants. We're going to sort of stay where we are for a while. So that's not a cut. That's just kind of a leveling off at these very high levels. And you don't hear that in the press. They really bought the argument that we're already making deep cuts and that you can't, you know, as the industry would like us to feel, can't afford to cut one more penny from the Pentagon.
That was William Hartung, Director of the Arms and Security Project at the Center for International Policy. Find links to more analysis and commentary on U.S. foreign policy issues in this election on our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.